Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, maybe we should call it food power today, because I have one of my favorite people, Leo Pearlstein. He's my guest. This is a man that knows turkey like nobody else. He's just got all kinds of experience with it. Leo's been involved in PR work for a number of years. He is the president of Lee & Associates, Inc. in Los Angeles and the Home Economic Division of Western Research Kitchens. It's very much interactive with him. And he's been involved with the Research Kitchen for more than 50 years and came out with a book, Mrs. Cubison's Best Stuffing Cookbook, because he's got some history with Mrs. Cubison's. For those of you who are preparing the big turkey, you know that stuffing is one of the favorite parts of the turkey meal. Leo, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a real pleasure for me to be able to be with you.
Well, it's just a joy. Leo, you've got to give us a little bit of your background, because you have had so much of an interaction in the Hollywood scene for so many years. You've known Hollywood greats, Steve Allen, Abbott and Costello, Phyllis Diller, Mickey Rooney, Bob Hope, President Kennedy. You know, and the list goes on and on and on.
Well, I was a youngster when I just got out of World War II, out of the Air Force. I was in the psychological research unit in the Air Force. And like most of us, we got out. We had to get going back. I had just graduated USC before I went into the Army, and I majored in marketing. And I knew a bunch of my friends. We all went in the Army. We came back and got started again. So one of my friends was in the advertising agency business. I was helping my dad, who had a grocery market. My dad wasn't well, and I was going in. I had three jobs. I opened up his market in the morning. Then I would change my clothes, and I'd go to my friend's advertising agency. Then at night, I would teach food marketing for the homemaker. So I was quite busy. Now, my friends had an agency, and Eddie Bracken, who was an actor, a very good actor. He'd won an Academy Award for Miracle at Morgan's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of his friends, who were movie people, who were worried about television taking over the movie business and that they would be out of business. You know, that was sort of a worrisome time for the movie industry when TV started. And so he financed the advertising agency, and they were doing publicity for movie stars and comedians and things like that. And I was brought in because they wanted to diversify and wanted me to handle the food accounts. So they also had Bracken Television Productions. And Eddie Bracken had his friends from the movie studios, and they were starting to do all sorts of things. That's how I got started. Well, I used to meet, we had a little office in L.A., and having been in Westchester area, our office was at La Cienega and Beverly Boulevard, across
good
the
location.
Street from Rexall Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his friends would come and talk about the future. I found out they're no different than we are. They're human beings. They've got problems. They've got families. And believe it or not, when they're finished with a movie, they're out of work till the next movie starts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was doing publicity, and it occurred to me that maybe we could work together with the movie stars who were looking for publicity. And since we had a lot of connection with the food editors and markets where we gave them recipes, and I was handling the California Turkey Promotion Advisory Board. That's a big word, but California turkeys. I figured if people see movie stars doing something, today it's more than ever, wearing their clothes or driving their cars. So I tried it out with a couple of them and said, listen, I handle the turkey industry for the state of California. We want people to be more aware of turkey. If I gave you a recipe or took your wife's recipe and I could take your photograph, maybe I could get it into the newspaper, into the Herald Express. You'd get different publicity. You can plug your movie or your show, and it's wholesome publicity. It's not scandalous like the old scandals that used to be in the papers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked. They were, it was a, they got a big kick out of it. Besides, I'd give them a free turkey. So that's how it started. And the big thing was, one of my contacts with the press was a little publication called TV Movie News. And they used to make these little leaflets that they would distribute it in the market, so the market could get publicity. And all of the little companies around the market, the cleaning store, the wash laundromats, the everybody, the hair salons would advertise, and the markets would give it away for nothing. Well, they were distributing probably millions of them. So I was doing the Western Research Kitchen's Recipe of the Week. And the publisher said, well, you know all these movie people. Why don't you get them, get their photos. We'll put their photo in, and we'll say so-and-so's favorite recipe. Well, that's how I started. And before you know it, they started coming to me because they wanted people to see their name. That was the whole thing with the movie people. They wanted to let people know that they were alive and well. And that's how it started. And I was very careful to take good photos. And I'd always had them check the recipe to see if they liked it or not. And it became just a fun thing. And I've done it for many, many years, except nowadays the new celebrities are different than the old celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a corporate thing now. They've got lawyers, accountants, business managers, corporate headquarters, and they got all these TV shows with the scandals, you know, and the magazines. So they're not as anxious to do tie-ins. In fact, they want to charge for it now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't charge them, and they didn't charge me. We both benefited.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started.
Well, even though times have changed in certain respects, it's a lot of fun to talk about some of the things that you went through. And I know I want my listeners to know they better have a pad of paper and pen handy, because we're going to share some really scrumptious recipes with you. But I wanted you to tell the story about the farmer in Utah who had this wonderful, wonderful chicken that laid a real golden egg. Now, this is not hype, folks. This is the truth.
Well,
that kind of a story, we can't pass that one up.
Well, that's a long story. Well, Abbott and Costello were one of the most famous groups in the business, worldly. I read in the Variety that Abbott and Costello were making a movie, Jack and the Beanstalk. Oh, I remember when I was a kid, I remember it was the goose that laid the golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing any better, I had enough guts to call up Warner Brothers and say, I want to talk to Abbott Costello's agent. And I said to the agent, I represent the California egg producers. And the fact that you have a golden egg in your movie, I think I can get some publicity for us and I can get some publicity for you. Well, the guy laughed and he says, okay. He says, tell me about it. Well, he invited me out. I went to Warner Brothers and he says, what are you going to do? I says, I don't know yet. But do you want to do something? Well, Abbott and Costello were the most powerful actors there were in that day. And one thing led to another, and I said, well, how about if we give Abbott and Costello a golden egg from the egg people saying, you guys are two good eggs, and we'll talk about your movie. And I said, I'm going to go to my egg producers and suggest that they put a little card in the egg carton that'll promote your movie. And I came up with a slogan, two eggs for you and 52, meaning, hopefully, that people would have two eggs for breakfast instead of one. And there were two good eggs, Abbott and Costello.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these movie guys pounced on it, and we went crazy, and we just went crazy over the thing and started getting stories out about the golden egg. So we got it all over the press, and we were telling people about Abbott and Costello, and everything was going great. And we were just getting a lot of publicity. They were happy and we were happy. Then I got a call from a farmer in Riverside County who said he's got a golden egg. Well, you know, that kind of threw us. Well, we went and got the movie guys. They had money, so they sent a guy down to Riverside. And they got the egg and they signed a, like, I'm taking this egg, it belongs to you, and so on. And what it was an egg, the shell that sort of was yellowish. Now, we didn't know why the eggshell was yellow. We went to the University of California at Riverside, and we went to the professor of agriculture, and he went to the lab, and he scratched the egg. It was a real egg, and he said the chicken must have been sick. It must have been a sick chicken, or maybe he had a virus or something, or maybe the feed, whatever it was, that particular egg came out sort of yellowish. Well, we made a big fuss about it, and the movie guys, I mean, they were creative guys. They insured the egg for $1 million with Lloyd's of London.
That's real.
And they flew the egg. We had a guy, a photographer, that was at the airport. This was the old time. They had the DC-3s, the little planes. We had a photographic crew, and we had the egg packed in a little fancy box. And the newspaper said the $1 million egg is being shipped from Riverside to Los Angeles for Abbott and Costello. And it was amazing. Well, anyway, we got so much publicity from the guy that he figured his egg must be worth a lot of money because we insured it for $1 million. So he contacted us and said, well, listen, you've been doing all this thing with my egg, and I've got to get paid for it. And he said, I'd like to negotiate with you as to how much you guys will pay me for the golden egg. Well, that sort of scared us. And we said, well, look, we don't want to buy the egg. We're finished, you know. So he was a good guy. He, you know, somebody advised him that he'd make $1 million on this thing. We said, this is insurance. This is nothing else. So we said, we're going to give him the egg back.
Mm-hmm.
So we packed the egg in a nice little box and wrote him a big letter and thanked him and told everybody where the egg came, and we sent it back to him. So that was the story of the golden egg.
Well, now you know, folks, there really has been a golden egg. Nobody ever talks about the poor chicken, though. But anyway, that's just, Leo, you have so many fun stories, so many things that are nostalgic, but I know your recipe book that you put out, which I just love, I've given it as gifts to people, Mrs. Cubison's Best Stuffing Cookbook. Now, Mrs. Cubison was quite a gal. She was way, way ahead of her time. She was very much into healthy food. She's got a phenomenal history. Give us just a brief rundown on Mrs. Cubison and how the two of you came together.
Well, it really put me in business, and I have to thank Mrs. Cubison for really starting me off, because she was the most charming, nicest person I'd ever met in my life. I was doing work for the turkey industry, and our job was to get people to eat turkey the year round. And as usual, they don't have a lot of money, and the farmers were not really PR-oriented, but I had a little budget. I saw in the newspaper a little tiny ad. It was a black ad with white reverse, so it really popped out. And it says, turkey tastes great with Mrs. Cubison's all-purpose dressing. And then it said, chickens taste great. And believe it or not, in those days people ate ducks and geese.
Mm-hmm.
Chickens taste great, ham tastes great, ducks. These were little tiny ads. Very clever. Very clever. So I looked up in the phone book, and I discovered there was Mrs. Cubison's bakery. And I went down and introduced myself to her, and she was a charming lady. She was running the whole factory. Her husband had been ill, and she's the one that was the motivating force of the business. And I said, I work for the turkey industry. I think I can help promote stuffing if you can help us promote turkeys. And she said, well, that's great. I have an advertising agent, but he's not too happy because I don't give him much money, and it costs more money to make the ads than the commissions he makes. So she introduced me to the ad guy, and he says, hey, I don't make any money on this account. If you want it, you can have it.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was a tiny budget. She had $300 a month that she was spending.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you make a 15% commission, you make $45 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we started, and I was a PR person more than an advertising person. And I said to her, frankly, Mrs. Cubison, you could get more out of public relations because you are a woman, you're a pioneer, you've got a big story to tell. So I started putting her on TV shows and radio shows and got demonstrations for her. And it just turned out to be great. And that's how it started. And believe it or not, she passed away, of course, and the business was sold, but I'm still working for Mrs. Cubison's Foods.
Well,
she was a charming woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was a pioneer. In fact, when Governor Schwarzenegger's wife had a honoring California pioneers, they had the library in Sacramento, I wrote a long letter and sent a whole bunch of photos, and I said that they should honor Mrs. Cubison as a pioneer in California, and she went to Cal Poly University and majored in home economics when women didn't even go to college. And so they honored her in the Sacramento Library. And she had 9 brothers and sisters. Her father had a ranch. They were growing lima beans in San Diego County. And as a young teenager, she was trying to save up money to go to college, and she were helping her folks, and she cooked breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, snacks, and they had a horse-drawn chuck wagon. And I, in the book, I have a picture of that chuck wagon, and she had a guy that helped her with the horses, and she baked everything from scratch. She didn't have all the modern gadgets that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a good cook at the age 15. Then she went to college. When she got out of college, and she was a health enthusiast and liked health foods and liked whole wheat bread, and she met Harry Covison, a young fellow, and they got married, and she told me personally that she had no money, and they borrowed $300 to open a little bakery, and they started baking 100% whole wheat bread, whole wheat crackers. She was one of the first pioneers to use soy flour, and she made Melba toast. Melba toast, because her father came from Germany, and her father was a master baker, and he taught her how to make Melba toast. They called it Zweibach originally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my kids were small, they used to be teething on Zweibach.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
the hard, it's really long toasting is what it is, drying out the bread. So to make a long story short, Mrs. Covison started the Melba toast business, and it started growing. And then Ethel Barrymore, the famous actress,
mm-hmm.
went on the Mayo Brothers Clinic diet, and they called for Melba toast. Now, even though they didn't have cable, and they didn't have TV, and they had radio, and they had newspapers, the entire country was excited about Ethel Barrymore's diet. It called for Melba toast, and overnight, Mrs. Covison's factory was working day and night to turn out Melba toast.
Incredible story.
It was that was in the early 1900s, up until the Big Depression, 1929, when things sort of fell apart. Now, here's the American dream. In the 40s, Mrs. Covison's factory was going, and she used to take the broken pieces of Melba toast and try to figure out how she could market it. You can't sell broken pieces. She lived next door to the bakery, and she would take the broken pieces home and experiment with it. Being a good cook and being a home economist, she decided to make a stuffing mix. A dressing mix. In fact, this was not even related to turkeys. It was related to just stuffing things. Being a health food person, the first thing she did was stuff eggplants. And she took the broken pieces of Melba toast, and she added about 7-8 different seasonings that she thought was best. And that's how it was the birth of the dressing. And she called it Mrs. Covison's all-purpose, ready-to-use poultry dressing for poultry, meat, and fish. No, she didn't say poultry. She said dressing for poultry, meat, and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And she served it to her friends and to her family. And Thanksgiving time, she made a big fuss about it. And instead of just using onions and celery, which is all you need, she added other vegetables to glamorize it. And she added nuts. So her relatives said, why don't you sell it? So she went and took the packages and went to the 2 biggest markets in L.A., which was Walter Ralph's. Now, you having lived in L.A., remember?
Oh, yes.
Ralph's was
still
growing.
There.
In fact,
mm-hmm.
that market out there on Lincoln Boulevard in Manchester,
mm-hmm.
not far from where you used to live. And so she went to Walter Ralph's and Ted Vondray. Ted Vondray owned Vons. And she personally demonstrated it and served it to these 2 executives. And that was her first 2 customers. Then she promised to go to the markets. They didn't have demonstrators then like they do now. And she personally went to the markets and whenever they sent her and told people how to stuff their turkeys and how to make stuffing for vegetables.
Now, Leo, with this, you're talking about the stuffing, and she is such an amazing woman. And the fact that she was a forerunner in the health food industry is just an amazing thing to me. But I wanted to share some recipes with our listeners, and I wanted to go to one of the entrees in your book, Parmesan and White Wine Stuffed Sea Bass. Now, I know the Big Bird Day is next week, but sometimes people, they don't like turkey, and I thought it might be nice to share a few of the recipes in your book, because what I like about your cookbook is, one, all the ingredients are very healthy, Number two, the flavors are fabulous. Number three, you have all of the different meats. You have things for vegetarians in here. It's really great. So let me share with the audience this recipe.
Well, listen, thank you, and that's a big point. My personal unofficial research has shown that stuffing is equally important or even more so than the turkey for Thanksgiving, because the families remember what grandma made or what mom made, and they always look forward to their stuffing.
Absolutely.
And if you have vegetarians especially, or even non-vegetarians, there are many, many entrees that you can serve the dressing with, or, quote, stuffing, which stuffing and dressing are synonymous, you know. And so I appreciate you bringing it up, because it's a very good point.
Okay, folks, got that pad of paper and pen handy? Here we go. The Parmesan and white wine stuffed sea bass. For those of you that love fish, now this is served at any time. Now this is something that's so easy to do. If you really want to wow the people that come over to your place for dinner, this is just great. Now what you want to do is preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and you want to have a nice sized baking dish for the fish, and you want to liberally spray it with your nonstick cooking spray, or if you want to use butter, you can do that too, whatever it is. Now, these are the ingredients. This is going to serve six people. You need a four-pound cleaned whole sea bass, or whatever is your fish of choice. A four-pound cleaned whole sea bass or other fish. You're going to need some salt. You're going to need some pepper, and you just season that as, use that as a seasoning as you would prefer. You will need some melted butter. Or, if you prefer, you can use olive oil. Now, the stuffing is this. You're going to need 3 cups of seasoned stuffing mix, or you can use cornbread stuffing mix. You know, we all have our own preferences. 3 cups of a stuffing mix, 1/4 cup of chopped onion, 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh chives, 1 cup of dry white wine. And remember, if you're going to use wine, make sure you like the taste of the wine. That's very important. 1/2 cup of melted butter and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. That's all that you have in ingredients. You have the salt and pepper. You have your seasoned cornbread stuffing mix, 1/4 cup chopped onion, your 1/4 cup grated cheese, 2 tablespoons of fresh chives, 1 cup of dry white wine, 1/2 cup of your melted butter, and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Okay, this is all you do. Your stuffing, you put it in a medium-sized bowl, combine the stuffing mix, the onion, the cheese, the chives, and then, after you've mixed that, and it takes you all of about 30 seconds, then stir in your wine, your butter, or your margarine, and your lemon juice. Now, your fish, obviously, you're going to rinse that off, pat it dry, put it in the prepared baking dish, and you want to sprinkle the interior of your fish with salt and pepper according to your own taste. And then you want to just stuff that fish with this mixture, either the cornbread or your regular seasoned stuffing, and then you want to close it, securing it with toothpicks or some kind of a skewer. Then you want to brush the outside of the fish with the butter or your olive oil, whatever you prefer, and then you put your fish in the oven and you bake it for 40 minutes. And that's all it is. Or maybe depending on the temperature of your oven, it might be a little less, might be a little bit more, but the fish should flake easily when it's tested with a fork. So you have that. There you've got something that is absolutely wonderful for an elegant dinner. Have some nice lemon slices maybe on the top. Maybe you'd want to fix a little bit of a special sauce with that, whatever, like a lemon sauce that would go with the fish. However you want to do it, you're not going to be unhappy with the results at all. Leo, there's also a recipe you've got in here for Italian sausage and fennel. And I am a big fan of Italian sausage, and I really like the spicy sausage. That's for me.
Well, it's great. And incidentally, that's getting more popular. People are becoming more adventurous, and they're reading more, traveling more, seeing a lot of the Food Network, you know, all these fancy chefs. But those recipes that we have that from Mrs. Cubison that we've gathered over all the years, you'll notice they're not complicated. They're easy to handle. And the markets nowadays, years ago, fennel was not so popular, but now it's a popular herb.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very popular, and it is a great recipe. and the Italian sausage. And incidentally, it's very interesting because Mrs. Cubison has talent and people around the world, because each culture, each area where you come from, have their own way of making stuffing. It may be the same thing, but they call it something different.
Oh, yeah.
Could be German sausage, could be Mexican chorizo, it could be Italian, even Asian, by the way. You know, it's the things that you put in, the basic seasoned dressing, is what makes the culture, makes the area. I think it's great, and I appreciate the opportunity that you have of telling your listeners. And by the way, the book's available in the major bookstores, Barnes & Noble and Borders and Amazon.com, and Mrs. Cubison's .com has it. And it's a darn good book, and I'm glad you brought it up, because we make stuffing the year-round. We love stuffing, and we pick out a lot of these different ideas from the book. Or, incidentally, there's a great website, which has a lot of this in there, too. It's MrsCubison's.com, and sometimes people misspell Cubison's. You know, if you call it Cubison, it's C-U-B-B-I-S-O-N apostrophe S. But to make it easy for them, nowadays we have ThanksgivingTips.com. It's the same website, easy to remember, ThanksgivingTips.com. It's a great website.
Well, that's wonderful. Let me give out this recipe quickly before we close out, because it is good.
I'm glad you're doing it.
Yes, Italian sausage and fennel stuffing. Now, what you want to do, your oven, this is, you put in a casserole dish. You could put it inside of your favorite meat. This would be great with pork. But I would say if you want to just put it aside, have it as a separate dish, you're going to need a 2.5 to 3-quart casserole dish, and your oven will need to be preheated to about 325 degrees. Now, this is going to be enough to serve 8 people. You're going to need 1 pound of sweet or hot Italian sausage, and you're going to need 1/2 cup of butter or margarine. You're going to need 1 cup of chopped onion, then 1 cup of finely minced celery, 2 cloves of garlic minced. Throw in a couple extra if you like. I always like a lot of garlic. 6 cups of seasoned stuffing mix. You're going to need an 8-ounce bulb of fresh fennel. You want to trim it and slice it. And 1 Granny Smith apple, which you peel, core, and dice. Then you need 1/4 cup of chopped fresh parsley, 1 cup of chicken broth, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, and 1 egg lightly beaten. Let me repeat that again quickly. 1 pound of sweet or hot Italian sausage, 1/2 cup of butter, 1 cup of chopped onion, 1 cup minced celery, 2 cloves garlic minced, 6 cup seasoned stuffing mix, 8-ounce fennel bulb, trim sliced, 1 Granny Smith apple peeled, cored, and diced, and then 1/4 cup of chopped fresh parsley, 1 cup of chicken broth, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, and 1 egg lightly beaten. Now, you're going to need a large skillet. You put it over medium heat, and the sausage, what you do is you take your knife and cut through the skin on your sausage, pop the sausage out of its skin, and cook it, and you break up the meat with a fork, and you want to cook it until there's no pink remaining in the meat. And then you remove the sausage from the skillet and set aside. And if you like to drain the fat, then just put it in a dish that's got a paper towel in it, and that'll drain any excess fat if that's a concern of yours. You want to then melt butter in the skillet and add the onion, celery, and garlic, and you want to saute those for 3 to 5 minutes or until the vegetables are al dente, you know, crisp but not limpy. Then you want to add your stuffing mix, your fennel, your apple, your parsley, and cooked sausage to the skillet. You want to stir it, mixing it well, and gradually add your chicken broth, your wine, and your egg, and you stir it until it's just lightly moistened. And, of course, you're going to just take all of that. It's a one-pot preparation, you know, process here. Put it in the prepared dish, cover the dish, and bake for 30 to 40 minutes or until heated through. If you want it crisp on the top, and this is good, too, just uncover the dish and bake it for 10 more minutes. It's good stuff. Leo, it's been a delight having you as a guest.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Gosh, and you reminded me of a couple of these good recipes that I've almost forgotten about. That's great.
You've got a website, and we're almost out of time here, ThanksgivingTips.com. And also you can go to MrsCubison's.com if you want to get more of that company's recipes. good stuff. Mrs. Cubison's Best Stuffing Cookbook. It makes a great gift for those friends that like easy cooking and delicious foods.
Oh, that's great. Listen, if they want more about classic celebrities, they should try CelebrityStew.com.
Okay, Leo, thank you so much.
Photos.
We're going to have to go. It's always a joy to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being my guest.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Leo. This
Happy
is Donna.
Holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment, and we'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Telephone numbers are 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, and also 530, 876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined our listening family here at the Donna Sivo Show, and it's totally painless. I know so many times people get so concerned. They say, gee, Don, I want to talk to you on the air, but I'm so scared. And I would say, what are you scared of? I don't know. I'm just afraid to call in. Well, don't be. It's totally painless. It's a lot of fun. And remember, I'm an information resource, so it's my pleasure to be able to share my mental skills with you. Again, telephone number 877-876-5227. All I want is your first name or initial, and then I'd love to know what part of the country you're calling in from. 888-815-9756. And then I'll be able to chat with you and give you my insights. Oh, by the way, I'm giving you a heads up. Next week on the 26th, we're going to be having Teresa Tapp on the air. And Teresa and I have been interacting prior to this time because she's been on the road traveling. She's been in New York, all over the East Coast. She's just going a mile a minute because she really has a physical wellness program that is just phenomenal. I know. I'm using it, and I've totally trimmed down 23 inches overall. It's just absolutely amazing, 15 minutes a day, folks. But she's going to be giving a holiday special to 3 lucky listeners. Now, what you need to do, this holiday gift is going to be worth over $100, and it's going to be a DVD on her skin brushing system, which is incredible. The mother of 12 that lost, oh my goodness, she went from a size 22 down to a size 8 in 1 year and didn't have any baggy, saggy skin because of using this technique. It works, folks, and also one of her workouts. Now, all you have to do, send me an email. Send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and it's going to donna@delphiinternational.com. In the subject line, put the Donna Sebo Show code DSS30 with your name and contact information. We're going to be taking names, putting them in our email pot, and we'll have a drawing. We're going to find out when that drawing will take place, but there are going to be three of you that will have the opportunity to win in this. So send me an email. You can start off now. Fit and Fabulous 2009 with Teresa Tapp. We're going to be talking more about it next week, which is exciting. It's just absolutely wonderful. And don't forget, for those of you in Western Washington, I am going to be making an appearance at the Dickens Fair in the Stadium District in downtown Tacoma. And this is a wonderful, wonderful event. It is, my goodness, it's into its fourth year, and I'm so pleased that they invited me to come along. It's on Saturday, December the 13th. There's going to be all kinds of events and activities going on. I'm going to be at the King's Bookstore doing many consultations. So I'll be doing 5-10-minute sessions with people, and part of the proceeds will be going to a special home that is a charity activity that I'm very happy to be able to participate in and to support in that respect. So again, December 13th, for those of you in Western Washington, I will be there, and I'll be in costume at the Dickens Festival. If you want more information, go to dickensfestival.com, dickensfestival.com, and you'll find out about this wonderful event that's for the entire family. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. By the way, we're coming into the holiday season, and oh my goodness, there's always just billions of parcels and pieces of mail that go out, and we have so many different services that we can choose from. And basically, you know, there's different venues, but we primarily have three major shippers that people focus on, and that's the United States Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS. Now, here are some fees that you need to be aware of if you are going to be working with a budget. Mail is something that does have a price tag on it. With the Postal Service Next Day Air, a 5-pound package, it's going to cost you $36.85. For 2-day air with the Postal Service, it's $16.86, and for ground, it's $10.58. So if you're going to send anything, the most expensive way, obviously, is ground, which means truck, and so be sure you get your packages out in plenty of time, because it is going to take as long as 2 weeks. The closer we get to Christmas, the busier they get, and it is just unbelievable the time that it will take. Now, FedEx, Next Day Air, a 5-pound package will cost you $73.50, and it's the same with UPS. FedEx and UPS charge the same for a 5-day package for Next Day Air. A 2-day air, FedEx is $43.65, and again, UPS is the same in the price. Now, if you send it ground, FedEx sends it via ground. It's less expensive via ground with FedEx. It's $10.06 for a 5-pound package, but with UPS, it is $13.99. $13.99. So just information, and if you want to track your package, you know, with the post office, with UPS and FedEx, they automatically are going to be having the tracking effect. With the United States Postal Service, you can pay 45 cents or something like that just to make sure that the package did arrive, and there is a way they have with their computerized systems to let you know about that. So you may have to pay a little bit extra, but why not do that to make sure that your package does get there? So however you do it, just remember that you have got to give yourself plenty of time, because unlike what we'd think, even if it's in a recession. It's not going to be any less in the way of gift giving, I don't think, and I think people are really going to be sending out just as much as they always have been. So just be prepared. Don't take chances. Also, holiday tipping. That's right. This is something that is a subject that often we don't know who to talk to about it. We really don't know what we should tip those people that maybe have done a very good service for us. Maybe you have a wonderful groomer for your animals and you would just like to let them know how much you appreciate them. Maybe you've got a hairdresser, or maybe there's someone that takes care of your house for you, or whatever it is. There's always those people that you want to remember, those people that you want to do something special for. Well, in the SIBO households, with a lot of different individuals we come in contact with, often we have very special gifts that we give, whether it's candy or it's cookies. Sometimes it's a special something I'll put together, and it's that home touch, you might say, the home cooked touch. And that is always appreciated by people no matter what. You can get such pretty tins. There's just so many ways that you can package things yourself if you have the time to bake, to cook, to do what you'd like to do. And people always appreciate that. There are some people every year that I take homemade fudge to. I have a girlfriend in Virginia, and she makes 50 pounds of fudge every year. That is beyond me, but that's what she does. 50 pounds of fudge. Do you know every bit of it is given away? And people just love it. Absolutely love it. So this is a time of the year where you can be very imaginative. But when you are interested in tipping, here are some of the averages. Now, there's a lady by the name of Anna Post. She is an etiquette legend, Emily Post's great-great-granddaughter. And she's a spokesperson for the Emily Post Institute. And she says, how much and whom you tip depends on the variables such as the quality and frequency of the service, as well as the length and strength of the relationship you have. But she said it's easier to jump first to the people you see face to face, but try to think of the people who do things all year long that you may not see. Now, you may have a tight budget. There's a lot of people that are going to be really tight with their pennies this year. A lot of people have been laid off from work, going through all kinds of changes. So just remember that if you wanted to remember somebody with cash, you give cash or check to people you think who need it most, and in many cases, 1 week's pay or the cost of one session, such as a guitar lesson, is appropriate. You don't want to use bank-issued gift cards, which might expire or have fees. Even retail cards can be, well, not very effective if the store goes bankrupt. And that's happened to a number of people. They'll go and they'll get cards, gift cards, and then they find there's an expiration date on it, and the person that gets the gift maybe doesn't use it, and then when it comes time when they want to use it, sorry, you're out of luck. You had a year to use it, and there all that money was paid in for that card, and now it's not going to be able to be used by the recipient of same. For others, consider giving soaps, candle, baked goods, and unless you know someone really well, try to give them something that's not going to be offensive or maybe even cause allergenic reactions. If you regularly tip a service provider, such as a barber, a small gift or a card is a very nice way to say thanks. And be aware that mail carriers aren't allowed to take cash or gift cards that can be exchanged for cash. The post office has very strict rules. They can accept non-cash gifts or gift cards worth $20 or less. And school districts, well, depending on the school, they do not appreciate cash gifts to teachers. So remember one thing, too, if you're not really in a position of having a lot of money, and I know there's been times in my life that was the case, remember to write a note saying thank you. And to remember someone is always very important. Now, here are some stats. A cleaning person, the average gift is about $50. Someone's teacher, $20, or whatever else you want to give the teacher. Hairdresser is $20. Child care provider, $38. Manicurist, $20. Newspaper carrier, $20. Barber, $15. Building superintendent, 25. Pet care provider, 25. Mail carrier, 20. Lawn care crew, 25. School bus driver, 15. Fitness instructor, 25. A sanitation worker, 20. Those are just some stats. Cash tip or the value of a non-cash present. So those are just some tips for you. We're going to take a break for just a moment. When we come back, a special story to share with you. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got some wacky stuff to share with you today, and I mean really wacky. I came across this information. We all need shoes, right? What would you do if you had 9,000 of them? First, I'd want to know where in the blue blazes you'd keep them. But there is a woman, Darlene Flynn. She loves shoes. And I've got to share this with a very dear friend of mine, for whom I have purchased a number of different shoes. She had a shoe collection, and I just thought she had an amazing amount, but she's nowhere close to what this lady has. She is absolutely amazing, and she just has started this collection as of 2000, and I've got in front of me some photos. I see shoes on thimbles. I see shoes from all over the world. Some of them are antique shoes. She absolutely has this passion. She has a chair that's made like a shoe. For her birthday, somebody went and had a special ice cream cone that was made and filled with ice cream, and it looks just like a slipper. It's just absolutely amazing. She has at least 500 different kinds of shoe memorabilia. Again, I mentioned a chair. Well, she's got other pieces of shoe-shaped furniture. She's got shoe curtains, shoe wallpaper, shoe lamps, shoe watches, shoe-themed art, teapots, soap, purses, thimbles, spoons, candles, salt and pepper shakers, stationery. You're not going to believe this one. An electric shoe toothbrush. And what every woman should have is a red stiletto shoe phone. I mean, this is just amazing what this woman has collected. Now, her whole home is lined with display cases of these phenomenal shoes that she's collected. She has some 7,000 right now on display, including one that is called Miss Vicky that is just 4 inches wide and cost her $1,800 for the shoe. And she's got all kinds of different things. She has ambitions to own a shoe-shaped car, and she wants to appear on the Oprah television show with this phenomenal collection. Now, what started her off on this? What in the world triggers collections? Well, with her, it started after visiting her cousin's house at a Halloween party. And she said, my cousin inherited her grandmother's shoe collection, and when I saw it, I knew that that was something I had to do. I didn't know why it had to be shoes. I just love them. And from there, the whole thing kind of got out of control. Now, I think that Marco's wife would have really been in serious competition because Darlene has 200 pairs of shoes that she wears herself, but her son made her one of her very, very favorite items. He spent over 40 hours gluing together coins totaling $15.07 into the shape of a shoe. She said, what a present. Oh, yes. People's imaginations are absolutely amazing. I know my Scotty collection, never in a million years did I ever plan on being a collector of anything, ever. I marry my husband, and these many years later, I've got more Scottish Terriers than I ever thought I'd ever possess in my life. And it's an amazing thing when you start a collection, you have something, people just get so excited because now they know what to buy you for any situation, any circumstance. I have a very dear friend that I've known since I was 17 years old, and when my husband and I got married shortly after that, she said, when she was visiting us, she said, oh, I am so excited. I just know what I can get Donna. She never, ever collected anything before. In all the years I've known her, she's never collected anything, and now she's a collector of Scotties. And my husband had given me a little Scottish Terrier carved out of wood. It's just adorable. And he got it in a thrift store. In fact, it still has the crayon mark on the belly of the little Scotty. $2 is what he paid at the thrift store. It's really quite a beautiful wooden sculpture. So my girlfriend, Betty, has made sure that through the years that I have gotten a number of Scotties, all kinds of Scotties, and I've gotten it from other friends. And when I sit and I look at all this collection I've got, I never planned on having this collection, but it's a funny thing when people know that you have an interest in something. By golly, they'll get it for you. So just be prepared. Once people know, that is what they are going to do. Then I also wanted to share something wacky with you. There is a New Jersey art teacher. His name is Robert Lukson. He took a 1928 model A.R. Ford Roadster pickup truck, and he decided he was going to do a project. And he thought, I am going to decorate this 1928 Roadster with comic book, comic strip, and animated cartoon characters. And that's exactly what he did. I look at this. I don't know how he had managed to do it. I would have gone blind just doing all this stuff. But he is a very, very talented artist. He said that as an airbrush artist, he said, whenever people look at me, they wonder if I had a period of insanity because of what I've done with this truck and what all it took for me to do exactly what I did. And he said, I really don't care what anybody thinks. It's just an absolute work of love. And he took cartoons. He said, everyone has a favorite cartoon. And he said, what he noticed is that people look, they look at his vehicle, they're always looking for their favorite cartoon characters. One lady really had a lot of fun when she saw a comic reproduced in his car. She said, that's the one I was talking about all these years. And her husband said, what are you talking about? And she said, that's the cartoon. So it's a lot of fun. He said, there also was a time he had to remove the rear license plate so that a chap could get a few pictures of a cartoon that was going to be his next tattoo. Now, Lukson had used more than 600 research pictures of puppies. You remember the movie 101 Dalmatians? Well, he has actually included all 101 Dalmatians from the film. And at the time, the engine was out of the vehicle on roller pads, so it moved around and it was a lot easier to paint. And in the interior of the car, he's used a Nemo toy, repainted and converted into a gear shift knob. The interior doors feature cartoons from all kinds of comic book characters. This is imagination. Even the lug nuts on the wheels, they have even got characters on it. It is absolutely unbelievable. And he started it in October 18th of 2004, the 108th anniversary of the first published comic, The Yellow Kid, whom he honored with a place on the back of the side mirror. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to be talking with you Monday, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com, The Ghost Who Would Not Die. We are going to be discussing on Monday. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.